Welcome to Attack of Opportunity.
Hello, round two. Let's try this again. Apologies, the internet at the beginning of this interview was a little bit, a few technical difficulties, but with apologies to Guy Scalanders, who had we had video problems and not audio problems. This time we had audio problems, but we're fixed. We're back. We're going to reset, reboot, because there's got to be some test footage. I mean, like, we're kind of new at the streaming game here, guys, and, you know, we want to get it right. We want you to have a hard copy to watch later of the right thing. So welcome to Attack of Opportunity. I am GM Jeff Ball, your host, and today I have a fellow Canadian, not so far away. If I'm Ontario, Canada, and he's just over there in BC, that's like New York talking to Los Angeles. BC's got to be our LA. I mean, it's got all the really cool ski slopes. Everyone hangs out. Everyone's very mellow out there. So talking to our Los Angeles and BC, I'm talking to Robin from Dungeons and Blackguards. Man, thank you so much for taking the time and representing the Canadians here on our show today.
Thank you very much for having me, Jeff. I'm thrilled to be here and represent us West Coast contingent of Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcasts. We're thrilled to be here.
So the first question that we love to ask all of our victims here is, of course, how did you first know that you were a geek, a gamer, a nerd, one of us?
It began at an early stage between the pages of Tolkien. And once I'd read The Hobbit and got into Lord of the Rings, I knew that fantasy and imagination were going to be necessary drugs in my life. And it has proved out. This is something that is, all consuming. And that was certainly my entrance into all things fantasy.
Cool. So would you say that the Tolkien books were your gateway drug? I love it when people I need to do a batch of questions because I find people are answering three questions at once. I'm going to have to re-script this. But would you say that, you know, opening those pages where the defining moment was the gateway drug? Some people blame video games like RPGs like Link, cosplay. Got to say that was the one.
Certainly literature was a big one, not just limited to Tolkien, but when it comes to maybe tabletop games, there was definitely one game, although I can't remember the name, that swept me off my feet. It was a Space Marines type Warhammer 40K offshoot game. Everything you needed was in the box. And a friend and a few of mine just tore through this thing, painted all the miniatures, and really lived and breathed this game for a couple of summers. And so those sorts of, tangible things that you can really give yourself to and get rewarded from are indispensable for kids as well.
Right on. So how long have you been a gamer?
Well, this is definitely my renaissance of Dungeons and Dragons and any sort of role-playing game. I only flirted with the hobby maybe in my early to mid-teens, maybe a bit in the late teens, but I've always enjoyed fantasy and imagination. So when it comes to gaming, again, I've had a huge gap in any sort of games, video games or tabletop games. Just now my kids are getting back into Nintendo Switch, so now I'm actually living vicariously through them. But D&D 5e has sort of become certainly a huge creative outlet and a great way to connect with friends who are in different geographic locations. When we play, we are all in separate places. So it kills many birds with one stone.
Do you use the Zoom chat like we do here? Our Rollmongers actually started as, no one was around the table. It's only our Sunday night show with a new cast where we have people sort of in the studio that I moved from upstairs to downstairs, and now I'm padding a basement to get the wife and a couple of Canadian buddies over here for a brand new set of shows on a Sunday night. But our Friday night lineup is, even the Canadians that are in town here with me are in front of their own computer, and we've got two guys in Lindsay, we got a guy in Oregon in the States, we got a guy in, we're everywhere.
You're also disparate. This has always been, there's my older son there. Hey, Riley. This has always been our method of playing. So we use Discord to chat, and we use Roll20 sometimes when we're not in the theater of the mind. But we do have a player stateside now. That's Holy Cannoli. And then our others are all over BC. So I mean, technology makes these things possible. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if it wasn't for the sort of technical aspect, I had Voice Meter Banana, the virtual mixer, long before I actually went and bought sort of a plug-in XLR mixer and started playing around with that kind of thing. How long have you been playing RPGs themselves? I mean, like, to open a talking book, to watch the old Conan movies, to watch brand new, I mean, even like watching the new She-Ra program on Netflix, and you're really into it, it's like, oh, you're a nerd, you're a geek, you know. But RPG, tabletop RPGs are, I don't want to call them a subgenre, but it is a separate question. So how long have you actually been rolling ye olde D20 or playing the actual tabletop RPG?
I can split it into three distinct eras, Jeff. First was, in my mid to late teens, I got as far as creating a lot of character sheets. And in fact, I thought that's all the hobby was, because my friend Jamie at the time was always saying, you know, we're going to roll up a character, and we would. But then we never actually rolled. We were always in that stage of character paralysis, never having a DM, never having a coordinated game. Then in my mid-20s, a friend of mine did get me to sit down at the table. I rolled up a couple characters. They usually died immediately. My great claim to fame was the character Toad Shit, and he lasted one session, and he was eaten by giant toads. And that was an interesting reintroduction to the hobby, because I followed that campaign quite closely, even though I only guest appeared on it, and did a lot of campaign artwork. So I love to work in pen and ink. And so those sorts of being in the margins of a really interesting homebrew campaign, and I believe they were running 3.5 or maybe AD&D as well, that spurned on the third era, where a couple friends said, let's start a campaign of our own, and would you like to DM? I'd been given, I guess, enough confidence by them that, hey, I can pull this off. But yeah, let's give it a shot. So, you know, the last 2 years, we started playing in January 2018, have been a weekly adventure. I'm a first-time DM.
I can tell you're excited because your camera's shaking every time you talk. He's like bouncing the room.
Yeah, it's an earthquake in BC.
Yeah, really, eh? So the big question that we love to ask, the one that everyone leans in for, is what made you decide to start making your own content? Like, was there, like you said, the guy started talking to you, you're just starting to touch on that, but to become a content creator on the web, that's a big decision, even if you go about it lightly, even if you're a single mic in the center of the room and you're throwing it up privately for your own prosperity and some shits and giggles, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or if you're trying to go full on, you know, like you have a warehouse and camera crew and everything, like Critical Role, you know, there's a lot of guys in the middle like ourselves, you know, sure. What made you decide to just like commit? Because that's the best word. You got to commit to this, to be game a content creator, because if you don't put it up there, no one's going to see it. And if you don't continue to put it up there, people are going to forget it.
It takes those things, right? It takes commitment and care. And I think the big one is consistency. We initially recorded the sessions for continuity and for the ability to listen back in. It just so happened that although none of us have like soundproof bunkers, the audio quality was pretty good. And after listening to the first five or so sessions afterwards, I did consult particularly Caleb, who plays Kaitoa, our resident Warforged barbarian, like, hey, do you think we should put this up as a podcast? And he's very soberingly said, no, wait, because you don't want to run out of content. So we have about six seasons in the bank. We are scheduled out till early 2022. And again, the main reason was as a backup for the players to listen back to that audio. And then when I listened back to it, I found myself like grinning ear to ear thinking, you know what? This could be on par or at least listenable to a wider audience. And so we launched the podcast in November of 2018, and we released 1 hour weekly.
Cool. So on a personal note, do you have a favorite class, race, or alignment that you personally like to play when you do get your chance at the table, or just to see your friends play and you're just so into Bob's Paladin because you love Paladins and that kind of thing for the genre that you play?
Well, it's funny you say Paladin. Recently, I'm guest appearing, I suppose, on Weezer and Dragons' persistent trying to attract Weezer campaign. And I play a deep gnome paladin. So currently, I'll tell you what I'm excited about right now, paladins, because I just created one. But I get very invested in the characters. For me, they are the main characters of the story. And the enthusiasm that they bring to their classes is really what what kind of spurns me on to action to think, how can I involve their particulars of their character, their race, their class, their backstory? How can I involve it more? And we have some interesting classes. We have a blood hunter. We have somebody playing Matthew Mercer's sort of class there that is quite unique. We have Steve is triple multi-classing. He's doing a Gloomstalker Ranger from Unearthed Arcana. We have an artificer, potion smith. So it has really forced me to consult the appropriate resources and learn about why they pick their characters. I mean, I'm mostly a DM on this side of the table. So it really is it's as diverse as the ideas that the players bring. I'm into paladins right now.
it's the treat of the week.
Yeah.
So you talked about your crew being widespread like myself. Mm. But before we get into that, was there a specific inspiration for your choice? Like, you're going to say, I'm going to be a YouTuber, or I'm going to be a podcaster, it's audio only, or we're going to live stream. You know, was there specific inspiration for you to decide a particular type of content?
Definitely audio only. I mean, we were limited to that by the medium that we had chosen to begin in. We had enough, I think, narrative thrust that the idea of a audio drama style Dungeons and Blackguards campaign, which has these four pillars, combat, story, humor, and then raw violence, sort of very, very involved combat, seemed to be something that the players were into. All of that lent itself towards an independently produced podcast. And so I reached out to a couple of Canadian podcasts that I felt were in a similar realm, and although maybe with a different target audience, and Cheaper by the Dungeon, actually, DM Seth, was really pushing me towards Podient as a podcast hoster. And because I saw that, hey, this is already working and it seems simple enough, That was our choice. We've been thinking about auto-publishing to YouTube, but the keeping it super simple is kind of how at least I like to roll, being not just the DM, but the recorder, the producer, and the podcast publisher, and the social media manager. Then also, of course, having those giveaways and how do you connect with your fans. So the main way that we sort of connect with our listeners is via Twitter.
Yeah, that's how I found you, coincidentally. So back to the other question, where, you know, where does the magic happen? Where are you creating your content? Just on the web and everyone Skypes in? What software to use? You have a live studio, kitchen, living room, y'all separately. What do we got going
on? Loss of kid.
And we lost him.
A lot of our players.
Can we have that again? You froze on me.
Oh, yeah. I'm based in Abbotsford, BC, which is near to Vancouver. We have a player also in the interior of British Columbia, several or three more on Vancouver Island. And then one of our players, as of season 5, Holy Cannoli, is down in the States, Colorado. He can feel free to correct me on that one. We use very limited technology. We record via Discord. I use Audacity as an editing software to get everything all into one recording. And for the most part, our goal is to provide a consistent, like, hourly Dungeons and Dragons experience through the Dungeons and Blackguards lens, which is typically very cliffhanger-y. We definitely have a real pace that gets us through those sessions. But yeah, the magic happens every week, Monday, 9 p.m. to midnight. And it really is just the camaraderie and I think the energy and the enthusiasm of the players. I mean, there would be no game without the players. And an empty table is a very sad thing for a DM. It'd be great if we were in person, and we are trying to set up an in-person game for the near future, but it's been 2 years, and this is the format.
So you mentioned you've been creating content since November 2018.
Yes.
How many different shows do you have? Is Dungeons and Blackguards a brand, or is it the name of a single podcast?
It is now an expanding brand of shows. So I did about 4 months run up to the launch to do some test marketing to see like what episode length. and where might we fit in to the actual play realm of podcasts? The podcast landscape of 2019 is super interesting, not just the English language, but all over the world. You really need to figure out, I think, where you fit in. So we figured out that we were certainly not a family-friendly podcast. We figured out that we were definitely going to satisfy folks who were looking for a fair guarantee of combat virtually every session, but then also folks who were looking for intrigue and mystery. So, you know, it's an evolving thing with our campaign, because it's very player driven and it's narrative focused. So, you know, every week we're not really sure, or at least me as a DM, I'm not sure what the outcome is going to be. So I often say it's like every week I'm tuning in to my favorite show, like a serialized TV show, where I'm the set decorator, but I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not really the writer. And what that's done in terms of the content is it's built a really interesting collaborative narrative world. And there are two other offshoot shows which are already recorded, because we've been recording and we're booked out till about 2022. One of them is a solo campaign that takes place in the Dungeons and Blackguards universe. And then this Monday, I have a very special surprise where the actual players don't know this yet, but there's a new like offshoot campaign starting. And we're actually working with a couple of people on the East Coast. And now I'm seeing after 2 years that with a couple of guest DMs, and if there's interest from other players, we can keep this thing going off like little spin-off shows. But the main campaign is the primary content we create. You know, it's a weekly podcast in high quality audio everywhere you find your podcasts, and then supported by original maps. We have a lot of original music, and then drawings, and then giveaways every time we hit big milestones. But that's kind of our package. Tune in every week.
Right on. So in case we haven't, have you noticed with the icons I got going, sorry for the audio, Dungeons and Blackguards is a fifth edition Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcast. And do you run homebrew? Do you have a specific setting, a specific timeline, a specific region in Forgotten Realms that you run your games in?
No, this is a completely homebrew realm. I'm now using World Anvil to kind of capture all of that. But this is we all exist in the multiverse. I think that's a fairly common appraisal of homebrew settings and like planar interpretations. But we are a completely separate setting and world, homebrewed from the ground up in preparation for the campaign by me, but then populated with ideas and canonized by the player's actions. So it's a completely homebrew sandbox setting and campaign, which is, again, why it's so exciting, but also daunting for me initially as a DM. But now this thing has its own self-propelled nature and its own momentum. And the players have seeded so much of themselves into the world. It really is like a flywheel, a perpetual motion machine. And every week we come along, we spin it, and that homebrew setting gets more rich and more involved. So again, shout out to World Anvil, an amazing tool to capture your own homebrew settings in a way your players can see. It's beautifully formatted. Yeah.
You should hit them up for sponsorship. You're giving away free advertising.
You mentioned Guy Sklanders was on, and I'm a huge devotee of his sort of DM philosophy, and he's the one who mentioned it so much. I said, I gotta check this thing out. It is a great tool.
I mentioned him, not the name drop, but the fact that we had video technical issues with during his interview, but not audio, and with you we had audio
rounding up the tech issues.
I was very lucky to recently interview Guy, and we'd like to know, what social media and content outlets can we find you and your actual podcast? Like, where are you big, and where, left or right, social media can we find you?
You can follow us at DND Blackguards on Twitter. That's D @NDBLAGGARDS on Twitter. Our podcast can be found anywhere you get your podcasts: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google. Our home base is dungeonsblackguards.podiant.co. But really, go to the Twitter feed. That's where you're going to find all the new episodes being dropped. Search for us on any of your podcast apps. You will find us. Just search Dungeons Blackguards or D&D Blackguards. There are very few blackguards out there, so you will have no trouble finding us, I assure you.
I'm just writing in the into the chat here that you know, that they should find that.
Well, not to jump the gun, but we are really close to a next milestone. Every new listener is going to help us unlock our next milestone giveaway. We are cruising towards 5,000 downloads of the show. And so any new listeners we get into the hopper, you are going to help us unlock an astounding giveaway with some epic loot. It's going to blow your minds.
Right on. Well, speaking of loot, do you have available merchandise that fans can buy or get their hands on through these giveaways, and where can we find it?
Yeah. Yeah, we're still working on the I'm with Beleg cutoff t-shirt. No, we don't have a merch store yet. In fact, all we do is reach out to independent creators and makers for our giveaways. We either buy it outright or we get a promo code for our fans, and that's how we shuffle great merchandise from makers. Maybe one day we'll have a Dungeons and Blackguards coaster. We are a very craft beer themed show, but no merch per se, other than the delicious audio that you can put into your ear holes.
So a couple of personal questions to round out the interview, Robin, if you don't mind me asking. These are optional. You can pass on them. I personally find it very interesting that gamers and nerds come from all walks of life. That stereotype that you have to be a certain age, a certain height, weight, glasses, living in mom's basement or whatever. I've spoken and gamed with doctors, lawyers, ditch diggers, people with jobs that you just cannot even pronounce. And I believe the listeners find it interesting to ask you, what do you do for a living? What pays the bills until you could maybe possibly get this to pay for the bills?
Yeah, well, we all want to have that intersection of what we love to do and what we're passionate about and what makes us money, what makes us wealth. And if you can find that overlapping Venn diagram where what you do is impactful in the world and rewards you, then great. But no, I don't have that Goldilocks scenario now. So I work for a company that turns plastic, like waste plastic, into furniture. So it is rewarding from a certain perspective, but it's a furniture design company. And this sort of, as I was mentioning before, creative outlet, you know, engaging in imagination and storytelling and fantasy. I mean, those are things that, for lack of a better word, it is tough to find in a 9-to-5 job, unless you are in a very creative realm, like create or work on a video game or those sorts of things. So yeah, that's the 9-to-5er.
Right on. So could you talk about possibly your latest project for Dungeons and Blackguards, or possibly a sneak peek of what's on the horizon, what's in the future for Dungeons and Blackguards?
We've mentioned perhaps in the chat, the artwork is up there. Our third season launches on November 6th, 2019. So we have a highly bingeable season one, season two, like fun, fast episodes. Season three is going to blow the doors off of this campaign. I am so excited. I really can't contain it. I do believe we're going to hit that 5K around the time we drop season three, episode one. So I feel like the giveaway is going to dovetail in at the same time. It's very exciting. I will give a quick shout out to the special guests we have coming up in Monday's recording on the 28th. Sadly, they will not be able to share that with friends and family for almost 2 years, but that is the Dungeons and Blackguards offering. We have a weekly persistent narrative with a very engaging story, like high quality audio. And maybe here's the big thing. Our secret weapon, I have a friend who's a music producer, just produced 7 new original electronic tracks for the show just in time for season 3. So I'm really stoked for people to hear it. We often are mentioned for our audio quality and the general mixing of the ambience and the sound effects and everybody having a sort of a clear and distinct voice. So that's what's on the horizon. More blackguards for the foreseeable future. And in 2021 and 2022, some of the things that we're talking about today will actually be available for consumption.
Awesome. You told me your DM handle, and I absolutely love it. I can't remember it. What?
Oh, sure. Yeah, so DM Robulon. And, of course, my first name is Robin. And it came about organically. And, yeah, thrilled to be DMing this group that's been, you know, that's been a part of this, like, amazing evolving story for 2 years. But they'll call me Rob. They'll sometimes get it wrong and call me Robert. You know, full disclosure, I've never met two of my players. Two players I've never met in person. And so it's a wonderful sort of thing for people to know you as the DM on the line, but to never have met you in person. So to some of them, I am DM Robulon. That's all they've ever known me as.
No, I've never met our American cast. We talk about like if we could get the Patreon up to where we could buy plane tickets and all go to a convention and like finally meet in person after working together for 2 years, that would really be something. You should make it one of your goals. But I'm out of questions, sir, and I wish I could just make up more on the spot. You've been such a great guest and told
this
us so much,
really fun.
So much about what's going on. I'm talking to Robin from Dungeons and Blackguards. You got to check out their 5th edition actual play podcast. And I don't know what to say, but it's just so nice to hang out with another Canadian that's on his way up, and you know,
doodly deedly do.
Think we know each other, and it's like, well, no, we don't. But now we do. Yes. I know one more.
Yes, come have tea with us at the Princess Hotel in Victoria.
Mm. Oh, I believe I'll swing by there once the Patreon hits 10,000.
Just swing by. I might slip out to the bank, but you know.
Yeah. Oh, yes. These things do happen, yes.
Well, responsibilities do call. I know it's always tough to set these things up. Jeff, thank you so much for reaching out. We've been trying to connect for weeks here, but we managed to get her done.
We did. We got her done. I'm GM Jeff.
Not say.
We don't say that.
Wonderful.
I'm GM Jeff Ball. You're listening to Attack of Opportunity. It's been my distinct pleasure talking to Robin from Dungeons and Blackguards, and we will see you next time on Attack of Opportunity.
Happy gaming. Bye-bye.